CJSF is looking for new volunteers to come in and make radio. No experience is necessary. You can learn to DJ, edit sound, produce news, make posters, and host your own show. Come out to a weekly station orientation to get involved. Orientation times can be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
Hi there, welcome to the Arts Edge at CJSF 93.1 FM Burnaby Mountain. You can also find us online at www.cjsf.ca or at TELUS HD channel or at TELUS HD channel 7019. On tonight's show, we will be featuring an interview with Jackie Kania, who is a hypnotherapist located in the BC interior. That's coming up in just a little while. But first, I have a song from Bear McCready featuring Jana Yarbaro. Here we have the Skyboat song, theme song to the TV series Outlander.
Sing me a song of a lass that is gone. Say, could that lass be I? Mary of soul, she sailed on a day over the sea to sky. Mull was a stem, rum on the port, eck on the starboard bow. Glory of youth glowed in his soul. Where is that glory? She sailed on a day over the sea to sky.
So now, let's go to our interview with Jackie Kania. Good morning. Welcome to the Arts Edge at CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby Mountain. This is Annie Roach, and on tonight's show, I'm speaking with Jackie Kania, a hypnotherapist who lives in BC, who I've only ever met with her on Zoom. I've actually done hypnotherapy with her, which has been amazing. And I've known her, I think, for a couple of years. So we're going to be talking about her career as a hypnotherapist. Jackie, thank you so much for being on today's show.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Elaine. It's really nice to be able to get a chance to talk about what I do.
As I've told you before, I find it pretty amazing. And I know you're going to do a better job than me. Can you explain what hypnotherapy is?
Okay, well, hypnotherapy is the use of hypnosis in helping people to get to the root cause of whatever it is that's stopping them in their life. And it could be a fear, it could be a phobia, could be almost anything. They want to stop smoking, they've got a bad habit, whatever it is. But hypnosis in and of itself is a natural state of mind. We slip into hypnosis on and off all day long. You know, you've probably had that experience where you've been driving the car and you think, oh my God, I'm like 10 miles from where I was. How did I get here? Well, literally your conscious mind slipped into that state of hypnosis. And luckily your subconscious mind's job is to serve and protect you. And it knows how to drive your car. So it got you there. And that's a state of hypnosis. It's really just a state where your conscious, your critical conscious mind is completely relaxed and takes a break. And your subconscious mind becomes available. And your subconscious mind is where you have saved all the information, all the experiences, all the emotions that you've ever had in your life.
Would you say that hypnotherapy works for anybody?
Anybody who wants to make a change in their life and is willing to trust enough to go into hypnosis, being guided by someone like myself. Yeah, it works for anyone.
That's really interesting. Some people believe that if you go to one of those events like the Great Kreskin, that you can hypnotize anybody to do anything and to do the most ridiculous of actions. Mm. But based on what you're saying, not everybody can be hypnotized. What would happen if someone were on the stage and the Great Kreskin were to tap into something in a person's subconscious mind? Could someone like that, who's very experienced, access information that the person doesn't want accessed?
No. Your subconscious mind is there to serve and protect you. And there's a couple of things. Number one, you're talking about stage hypnosis. Now, stage hypnosis is it's a bit of an art form, and it's certainly a performance. Now, the only people that you will get up on stage that will stay in hypnosis are what we call fizzes. These are people who don't feel the need to protect themselves, their physical bodies, they're safe. So they're the kind of people who, if you give them two drinks at a party, will get up and do the chicken dance and tell stupid jokes and all that kind of thing. So there's a part of their subconscious mind that's more than willing to play and have fun. If that person were an emo, which is what other suggestibility we call people, that person is not going to do anything that they don't know how to do perfectly, and they're never going up on stage. Or if they get up on stage, they're going to be one of those people that you'll notice sometimes they, you know, have people doing things and they'll, you know, tap one person on the shoulder and send them off the stage. That's because that person's 99% an emo, and they have gotten up on stage just to see what will happen. But the hypnotherapist and the hypnotherapist assistant usually taps them out right away because they're not going to do or cooperate with the hypnotherapist. And your subconscious mind will never, ever, ever allow you to do or say anything that you don't want to, that you don't feel comfortable doing. You have complete control when you're in hypnosis. Nobody else has control of you. And in hypnosis, your subconscious mind will release exactly what it wants to, and it'll only go so far, and then it'll stop. If you don't like what you're being told in hypnosis, you'll literally just bring yourself out. Say, you know, this isn't working. And it isn't working because the hypnotherapist isn't doing their job properly, or, you know, you are not deep enough. There's many reasons, but everybody can be hypnotized if they want to be, but they will never do anything that goes against their moral values, their beliefs, none of that.
The terms FIZ and EMO, are those acronyms?
Yeah. Well, yes and no. One person literally can protect their emotions with their physical body. So that's why they term them a FIZ. An EMO protects their physical body with their emotions. And so that's why they're called an EMO. And we have a set of tests that we put people through so I can determine your suggestibility. And the reason that we do that is because depending on your suggestibility and the language that you use in your everyday life, if I don't understand those two things, then I'm not going to speak to you in a way that's going to make a difference for you. When I speak to an emo, I'm going to give an emo choices because emos will not be told what to do. So if I want an emo to, let's say, find their happy place, if you will, I'll give them some suggestions. You might want to find yourself sitting on a beach or perhaps a mountaintop or maybe even a meadow, whatever you like. Now, that's how I would tell an emo, because an emo will choose one of those places or something else altogether. If I were to do that with a FIZ, it would take all day for him to make a decision. With a FIZ, I'm going to, you know, I will have talked to them ahead of time. I will know something about their happy place. And then when I have them in hypnosis, I will take them there and I will tell them, now, I want you to find yourself on that beach, the one that you really love, with the golden colored sand. And they'll go there immediately because a FIZ likes to be told what to do. They don't like too many choices. They can't make one.
In the past, you and I have spoken about
neurolinguistic programming.
That's right. How does that factor into hypnotherapy?
Well, neurolinguistic programming is a way to read people's body language, to listen to their linguistics, whether they're a visual person, whether they're auditory, whether they're kinesthetic. All these things make a difference in the way that you work with a client. And neurolinguistic programming originally was used as a sales tool, but it really has a great function in everything that we do in our world. If you understand how a person processes information, how they use language, when you're having a conversation with them, you want to be speaking to them, not to yourself. So when you listen and you watch how a person does things and says things, you start using their language patterns and they understand what it is you're trying to say to them. You know, you get into a conversation with a person, sometimes you're trying to really explain your point of view and they don't get it, but you're talking the language that you speak. And if you're a kinesthetic person, you're talking about feeling things. If they're a visual person, they're not getting it, because they make pictures in their heads. You have to describe something to them in a way they can understand it. So neurolinguistic programming is a really handy tool to have in your kit bag, because it really helps you to get people, to have them understand what it is you're trying to say and to communicate with them, not with yourself. Because if you're not speaking their language, then you're talking to a wall.
So if you've taken a client back in time and they're accessing information, are those connections that your client has made, are those connections that they will remember when they come out of hypnosis?
Yes.
Will they always remember?
Yes. Yes. Every time my clients come out of hypnosis, they're always surprised at what they find, because when a client comes, they come with a particular issue and they know, they think they know what that is, where that issue came from, which is what we call the symptom producing event. That's the event in your life where you started to notice this was an issue, that it started to cause problems in your life, you had emotional reactions, whatever it is. This is the moment in time when that happened. It's not necessarily the moment in time when whatever triggers that reaction actually happened. And it may not have anything to do with what we call the root cause, which is the original event that triggered this emotional response. So when I take people back in time, which we call regression, I put them into hypnosis, I regress them to a time. Usually with regression, I start with the emotion because they come with an emotion that's very prominent and it's affecting their life. So they will have had an incident that happened in the last 24 hours that triggered this response. So I get them to feel that emotion and really know where that emotion is in their body and describe it. And then I have them enhance that and make it stronger. And then I have them take that emotion back to the very first time they ever felt it. And generally speaking, they'll go to two or three incidents in their life until they get to one where they're quite young. And at that time, something will have happened. You know, for instance, I had a woman who could never stay in a relationship. And it turned out that when she was 2 years old, she was in the shopping cart. And her mom's pushing the shopping cart around the store. And when she realizes that she needed a can of soup, which was on the aisle before, she thought, oh, well, I'll just run and get it. So she left the child in the shopping cart, maybe for 30 seconds. But that child's 2 years old. That child thinks it's been abandoned. That child is terrified. It has no sense of time. It thinks the mother's gone. And then the mother comes back, and of course the child is crying, and the mother, you know, soothes the child. But that emotion, that feeling of being abandoned, is locked into that two-year-old subconscious mind. And unfortunately, your subconscious mind doesn't know that you grew up. So at some point in your life, something else will happen, and that will trigger that emotional response. And then it becomes an issue, usually because your subconscious mind wants you to deal with it now. You're ready to deal with that now. So this woman could never stay in a relationship. She would always sabotage them because nobody was going to abandon her. So she abandoned them. That's from a two-year-old. That two-year-old was driving her life. Well, when she came out of hypnosis, she said to me, I would never have thought that that was the issue. Never in a million years. And when she's at that root cause, we do whatever that child needs to have herself feel complete, whole, and perfect. Because that's how you diffuse the emotion. That's how you reframe it. The incident happened, but you reframe the perception of the person who is experiencing the result of that by having her take control. So in an incident like that, I might do one of two things. The mother's there, so I'll ask her if there's anything she needs from her mother. And if there is, and her mother can give it to her, then that will usually resolve the issue. If, for instance, for some reason, the mother can't give the child what it needs, then I send the adult self back. And I have the adult self introduce themselves to their child. Tell them who they are. Tell them who they become. Tell them all the things they've learned and what their strengths are, and have them give that child whatever that child needs, and tell that child that they will never leave them. Because in all honesty, you can never leave yourself, right? So that child, when it feels whole, complete, and perfect, then we come back to any other incidents along the way as we were going back, and we reframe those. So when that person gets back to now, if you will, they no longer have that trigger. It's gone because they've taken control and they've given their child whatever their inner child needs. Make sense?
Makes total sense. I find it the most fascinating form of therapy, if you will. I mean, it's nothing like talk therapy, but I don't think I would have come to this on my own. If I hadn't met you through a friend, I don't think I ever would have come to this. So I want to ask you, for people who don't know hypnotherapists, who have never had the experience of being hypnotized and doing personal work through this method of accessing the memory and healing, how do you get this information to the general public?
Well, for me, it's been word of mouth mostly. I've tried all kinds of different advertising routes, and some of them have produced minimal results. But the best thing I have going is word of mouth. And word of mouth has kept me in business for 15 and a half years. So it's interesting. I think that now you're hearing a lot more about hypnosis than you ever did in the past. There's actually, in the United States, their WCB as such, they recommend pain clients to hypnotherapists because chronic pain is one of the things that is easily and well treated with hypnotherapy, because chronic pain becomes a habit of the brain. After the pain has healed, whatever caused the pain has healed, the brain has already developed a whole set of neural pathways, and it goes looking for the pain. So you might get up in the morning and feel great, but about 2 hours later, all of a sudden you feel the pain because your body has been looking for it. It's a habit. So your brain went looking for it. And so it finds pain, if you will, and it begins to, give you all the pain signals and shut you down. So pain is a wonderful, easier thing to help people with than a lot of other things, because it's just retraining the neural pathways. You break the pattern and then you reset the brain. And the human brain is absolutely unbelievable in what it can accomplish. I've worked with a couple of brain injury clients, and both of them have gotten back mobility and abilities that they weren't able to get just through regular therapy. And how people hear about you is sometimes they'll just go looking online for something and it pops up. And it's my belief that when the client is ready, it's like when the student is ready, the teacher appears. When you've exhausted everything else, that's when things like hypnotherapy and maybe other alternative healing therapies seem to show up in your life. And maybe it's because you're looking harder for things. But if you're really looking for a good hypnotherapist, you want to go to somewhere like the IMDHA, which is the International Medical and Dental Hypnotherapists Association of States. Anyone who has been trained and certified by them has a listing on their site, so you can find a hypnotherapist in your area. There's also a Canadian version of that, and you can go on their site, and Canadian hypnotherapists who've been trained and certified in Canada will be on that site. Talk to people. Lots of people have tried this sort of thing, but they don't talk a lot about it because it hasn't been in the mainstream medical field, although it is starting to show up there. There are some doctors who are saying, go try it. You've got nothing to lose. Because the very worst case scenario in a hypnotherapy session would be that you would get 1 hour of absolute and total relaxation. You get more delta rest in 1 hour of hypnotherapy than you get in a whole night's sleep. Now, delta is the mind, the setting in your mind that you want to be at, so that your body can release all of the toxins that it's collected over the day. It's the time when your body takes out the garbage, if you will. Your mind goes through all the information, the millions of bits of information that you've taken in a day, and it processes them. It puts some of them into your subconscious. It throws some of them out because there's no match in your brain for it. So there's a lot of information that isn't relevant to you. There's a lot of information that your brain wants to keep. But if it doesn't siphon through all that, then what happens is that people end up with high anxiety, because there's too much information in their brain and 90% of the population doesn't get enough delta sleep. So if you came to me for hypnotherapy and the only thing you got was that delta sleep, that rest in hypnosis and direct suggestion about the issue that you came for, you would benefit immensely. And that's, you know, if you want the worst case scenario. Best case scenario is we get to the bottom of a bunch of issues in your life that have been challenging you. We reframe them and they disappear and you move forward.
So you've been doing this for 15 years.
Yep.
How did you come to hypnotherapy?
Well, it's kind of an interesting story. I've always been fairly intuitive in my life. And so I've often known things. I just know things about people. And there was a course for mediumship. And I thought, I want to take that course. And everybody that I knew kept saying, why would you pay money and take that course? You already do that kind of stuff. You just do it naturally. And I thought, I don't know, but I got to go. It was like a compulsion. And I get these little compulsions, if you will. And when I get them, I have now learned that follow the compulsion. There's a reason. So I paid for this course and I go to this course. And the first day we introduce ourselves to each other. And there's a woman there who introduces herself as a clinical hypnotherapist. And it was like I got hit with a bolt of lightning. I thought, oh, that's what I'm here for. I needed to meet this woman. So 6 weeks we were in the course. I didn't ask her anything about hypnotherapy, but I went and did a whole bunch of research on my own. And I narrowed it down to two schools that I was going to take hypnotherapy from. The last day, we sat and chatted, and I asked her more about hypnotherapy, and she told me that she owned Coastal Academy of Hypnotherapy. And I said, oh, okay. She said, well, what else do you want to know? I said, nothing. How do I register? And she says, what do you mean? I said, well, I said, from day one, I've been researching and you're one of the schools I came to, one of the two schools that I was going to choose. So I took my hypnotherapy course from her and it was amazing. Absolutely amazing. And the very first day, you know, at that point, 15 and a half years ago was the time when, you know, a lot of video games and stuff. And I noticed that kids were more violent. You know, when I was a kid, you went to a party, if somebody got into some kind of disagreement or something, there might be a little punch up, right? People didn't draw knives and pull guns. And when she talked about the fact that we zone out, so you are in an altered state at that moment, you zone out watching TV, which is why commercials are so effective. You zone out all day long, in and out of a hypnotic state. Now, in that state, your critical conscious mind is not operating. Your subconscious mind is operating. And in your subconscious mind, there's that part that is the fight or flight. And these kids are playing all these video games, violent, violent video games. And the, you know, the people in the video games keep getting up and they don't die. So they're getting a skewed perception and their critical consciousness is not operating. So even though they will tell you they know that it's not real, at some level, their subconscious mind is taking it as though it is. So when they are in a situation where they feel threatened, they actually feel that their life is being threatened when it's not. And so I think that's why the level of violence in our world has escalated so much. As soon as I heard that the first day, I thought, oh, we have to do something about this. So there's a world full of people out there who have grown up in this era of unrealistic fears. And I think, you know, that as a parent, biggest thing you want to do is monitor what your kid's doing on the internet, on, you know, video games. You want to watch what's going on because that's affecting their whole lives. It's affecting the whole societal situation.
And I really doubt that many people realize that.
No, you know, it's like talking about neuro-linguistic programming. I think that if every single person on earth was trained to some degree in neuro-linguistic programming, people would communicate with each other and it would be effective communication. not just words that don't mean anything, don't land on the other side the way you want them to. You should actually be communicating with each other. You